and the lights of spiritual guidance is on the air. This is your radio pastor, Reverend J. Harold Oman, speaking. And what a joy to my heart to share with you the gospel in song and from the word on the broadcast today. Pray for us. Stay tuned with us now. And the Lord bless you real good today is our prayer.
Soul shall rise, leaving far behind me all heartaches, tears, and sighs. Go to be with Jesus, that home beyond the skies,
and praise the Lord.
It'll be glory,
glory, glory
all the time.
It'll be glory,
glory,
glory when I get back
forever, living in Eden,
heaven
so fair
up yonder.
When I'm singing in the bright climb,
I'll praise the Lord.
Glory, 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 all the time. Matchless is the splendor of beauties I'll behold, as I stroll with loved ones along the streets of gold. Youthful there and happy, I never shall grow old,
and praise the Lord.
It'll be glory,
glory, glory,
all the time.
79 years ago, my dad walked into a studio in High Point, North Carolina, and broadcast the first program of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. He had his quartet with him, and they would sing, and Dad would preach to a microphone. And now we celebrate the beginning of that ministry, and I want to thank you for listening today. That first opening that you heard, Dad recorded that. I would assume that was probably back in the 80s. But then the song that you heard off an old 78 RPM record was my dad's quartet, the Ambassador Quartet. And we are celebrating and we're praising the Lord for the continuing ministry of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you'll help us keep this radio program on the air. We need the help of our listening audience, for we are a faith-based, listener-supported program. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, click on the Venmo or PayPal tabs there. Well, in the month of August, I'm ministering at Flintwood Wesleyan Church, August 2nd, August the 9th, August the 16th, August the 23rd, and August the 30th. Well, I need to back up and just correct part of that announcement. From August the 4th through the 9th of August, I will be at Moore's Holiness Camp Meeting in Moore's, New York. It's my final camp of the summer, but then I will assume the role of preaching pastor at Flintwood Wesleyan Church throughout the month of August. So I do covet your prayers as I assume this role and step in while our pastor is taking his sabbatical. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the listening audience. And I pray that you would bless each person listening to my voice today. And I pray that the message and the music would be a blessing. We celebrate your faithfulness, Father. Across the years, you've brought people into our lives that's helped finance this program. And I pray that you would continue to do that, and that lives, more importantly, would be affected by the love of Jesus Christ. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can use the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Down here, my burdens are heavy, and the road seems rough and long. Sometimes my feet grow weary and so slow, but a brighter day is coming.
Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephthah, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Father, help us to learn from this passage tonight. Thank you for the prayers that have already been offered on behalf of this service and this congregation. And I pray that as we have prayed for this service and sought your will and sensed that confirmation in our spirit, use this truth to move us tonight. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I look at this congregation, and as I sat and as the pastor told me to turn around and look at the congregation, I noticed that most, not everyone, but most of the congregation would fall into the category of the over 50 crowd. And I think that's providential. And it's not to say that everyone else under the age of 50 can't receive something from this service, because I believe this message that I want to share with you tonight is for everyone in divine presence. But I think as you hear the message unfold, you will understand why I made that opening remark. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to declare to this congregation that no matter where you are spiritually, God always has something more, something richer, something deeper, something higher. As a matter of fact, I have heard it all of my life that from a spiritual standpoint, no one has ever arrived spiritually. Oh, I believe that we can reach certain levels of spiritual maturity, but the Word of God teaches us that there is always more that God wants to give to those of us who are trusting Him, believing Him, and living for Him. And I wonder tonight, as I travel about from congregation to congregation and interact with wonderful people like yourselves, I often wonder how many of God's best people are members of holiness churches across the land where we're privileged to go. I wonder how many of God's best people are living on the border of something better, living as Israel was living at this particular time in their history, living on the border of the promised land. Now, the purpose of this sermon tonight is to understand that God has a complete plan for His people. God has a complete plan for you. And it is up to every one of us to pursue that plan with every ounce of our spiritual energy. Therefore, tonight, we're going to discuss the perfect plan. We're going to see how God had a perfect plan for the people of Israel. And we're also going to connect that with the fact that God has a complete plan for the Free Methodist Church in Clarkston, Michigan. And he has a perfect plan for every person in this sanctuary who is a part of this congregation. And then we're going to notice the power of perception. We're going to see how in the life of Israel, they allow the power of perception to keep them from claiming that which God had already promised to them. And it took years for them to finally arrive there. And we're also going to see how many times those of us around the church, we limit the power of God because of a lack of faith, a lack of willingness to pursue that which God has made available to us. And then thirdly and lastly, we're going to talk about the promise of possession. There's always, in any group of godly people, there is always a contingency, most of the time a minority of people who are willing to take a step of faith. Even though the obstacles seem large, they're willing to step out in faith and say, yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that which God is moving us to do. So it was with the people of Israel. There was Joshua and Caleb, and they were ready to go up and possess the land that God had already promised to the people of Israel. So with all of that in mind, let's consider, first of all, the perfect plan. Life was good for Israel. Life was good for Israel. The promised land is now in sight. Everything needed to make the journey from Egypt to the promised land had been provided for Israel from the hand of God. They'd been given a path to the Red Sea. They'd been given food in the wilderness. They'd been given water from a rock, and now they have finally made that journey through the wilderness. They've arrived at the valley of Mount Paran. They have pitched their tents there. They can actually see the promised land. They can see it with their own eye just across the Jordan River. There it is, the land that God has promised to us. It is our land. All they had to do was just cross the Jordan and possess the land. God's plan is in place. Leave Egypt. Go through the wilderness, arrive at Kadesh Barnea, possess the land. So here they are at the valley of Mount Paran. Do you know what Mount Paran represents in the pages of the Old Testament? It represents the glory of God. And you'll notice that the glory of God rested upon the people of Israel as they move from place to place in their journey to the promised land. The glory of God was on the people of Israel. Even when they were in Egyptian bondage in Egypt, the glory of God was there. When those plagues came upon the land of Egypt, you read the story and you will find that the people of Israel did not experience all the horror of those plagues. Why? The glory of God was there. The presence of God was there protecting them. And that fateful night when the death angel passed over Egypt and every firstborn male child and male animal in all of Egypt died that night except for the firstborn male child and male animal in the houses of the people of Israel. They did not die. Why? Because of the glory of God. And then as they departed Egypt and made their way toward the promised land, they came to the Red Sea. The glory of God was there as he parted the water right before their very eyes. They went through the Red Sea and through into the wilderness, and there was the glory of God, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, the glory of God, the presence of God, moving them from one place to another. And then they arrived at the valley of Mount Paran. The glory of God is there, but it was not the will of God for them to stay in that place. It was not God's will that they drive their tent pegs in and just camp in the valley of Mount Paran. It was God's will that they move on across the Jordan River and possess new territory. This principle of spiritual progress is evident in the Old as well as in the New Testament. It is never God's will for his people to get to a certain place spiritually and stop. It is always God's will that we be moving, that we be gaining new ground. I'm amazed at how the Lord works. In our pre-service prayer meeting, Chuck prayed that we might go deeper, that you as a congregation, that he himself might go deeper in the things of God. And then I came in here before the service began, and the praise team was singing a song that I love and that is a part of this sermon. And we sang it together, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that is a song that should always be on our lips. We should never get to a place spiritually where we can't and are not willing to sing that song. And you realize tonight, my friend, that if you happen to be in this service on this Monday night and you're not a Christian, you can sing that song. You say, well, how is that, Lane? How could I sing higher ground and not be a Christian? Well, you can sing higher ground because you want to move from the depths of sin to the heights of righteousness. You want to move out of being enslaved by sin. You want to move out of the condemnation and the guilt that sin brings into someone's life, and you want to move into life and have life eternal. You can sing higher ground. You say, well, Lane, it just so happens that I am a Christian. How does that song apply to me? Well, you can sing higher ground because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to know the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. You want to know what it is to be saved and sanctified, set apart for the work of the kingdom. You say, now wait a minute, Lane, don't get too hyper here. I am saved and I am sanctified. Well, you can still sing higher ground because you want God to reveal to you the ministry he has for you to be a part of as you serve him. You say, well, Lane, that's no problem. I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I believe I'm locked into the ministry that God wants me to be involved in here at this church. That's wonderful, but you can still sing higher ground because you want wider fields of service. You don't want to get so plugged in that God can't move you out of that position to another position and say, I'm done with you there. No, I want you working here. You say, well, Lane, I'm that flexible. I feel that way. I've given God carte blanche in my life, and he can do anything he wants to do with me. Well, that's wonderful, but you can still sing higher ground because you want a spirit of humility while you're doing all these things for him. You want to recognize that what you're doing is not in your own strength. It's not because of who you are and the talents that you've got, but it's because of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you say, well, Lane, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I feel like I know my ministry and I've given him the perfect right to do with me whatever he wants to do. And I want a spirit of humility. Well, you can still sing higher ground simply because you want God to be glorified in your life, and you never want to get to a place where you stop dead in your tracks spiritually. Understand it tonight, my friend, what that song is saying and what the Word of God is trying to teach to us is that there should never be a place in our lives where we have just come to stop and we're not moving forward in our relationship with Him. Every experience of grace is to be a springboard to a new experience of depth and challenge in our walk with God. I was conducting a revival meeting in a United Methodist church in Florida a few years back. And on the very first night of that revival meeting, it began on a Tuesday night and was to run through Sunday night. That was the way we did it back in the 70s. And on that very first Tuesday night of that revival meeting, I preached a message to the church, challenging them to be willing to embrace anything that God revealed to them that week during that meeting and be willing to act upon that. And at the end of the service, I said, now, how many of you in this service tonight would be willing, if God spoke to you about something, you'd be willing to respond without hesitancy? And if it meant some changes in your life, if it meant getting involved in certain aspects of ministry, you'd be willing to do that. I said, would you just raise your hand and signify that by just testifying with your hand? And people all over that congregation raised their hand. And then I followed up on that and I said, now if you raised your hand. Do you really mean it? If you really mean it, would you get up out of your seat and would you come down here and confirm that publicly and say to God that you'll take the risk, whatever it involves, to do whatever He wants you to do and go wherever He wants you to go, you'd be willing to do that. Would you come to the altar and confirm that publicly? Well, a great number of those people that raised their hand responded publicly, came and lined the altar, and we had a wonderful opening service for that revival meeting. However, as I gave that call that night and asked, first of all, for that show of hands, the head usher, who was partially responsible for giving me the invitation to come there for a revival meeting, was standing at the very back of the sanctuary. And when I asked for that show of hands, he just kind of stood there with his arms crossed like this. And then when I gave that invitation to come to the altar, he just stood there, stoically, staring down the aisle. After the service was over, I was staying with his son during that week of revival. And while we were having refreshment after the service was over at the place where I was staying that week, I looked at that young man and I said, called him by name, I said, something happened tonight in the service that troubled my spirit. I said, when I gave the call and asked for that show of hands and then the response of the altar, or for them to respond to the altar, your dad didn't raise his hand, nor did he come to the altar. And that young man said, I noticed that as well. And so while you were praying around the altar, I walked over to my father and I said, Dad, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, Lane, my dad looked at me and said, I didn't raise my hand. And I didn't go forward because I'm quite satisfied where I am. Do you know what happens in our lives spiritually when we reach that point?
Thanks for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I hope the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I'd like to recommend Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills, Illinois, or Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria, Ohio, one of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky, State of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and then finally in Orleans, Indiana, at the First Church of the Nazarene. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support or go to our website. You can write me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. May God bless you, and don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.